Linux Out Loud is firing up our mics, connecting those headphones as we search the community for themes to expound upon. We keep the banter friendly, the conversation somewhat on topic, and have fun doing it. This week, we're spouting off about the Am I a Jerk tech posts on Reddit. Let's get into episode 85. Once again, we are back, and it's all three of us. Matt's been away the last couple episodes. It's been a little sad. We're happy to have you back.
Yes.
How you doing?
Well, so don't lie, Nate. You're not, but...
fake news. I am glad you're back. You know, it's it's kind of like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing. Not quite. But just like where I miss the abuse. If I don't have it, I mean, I do get it from you a little bit in Telegram, but you know, I prefer the verbal assault's not the right word. It's more like mollywhopping that you do.
I would say diatribe is probably a better
whatever. It doesn't matter. Either way, I enjoy it, and so it's I feel like I feel incomplete without your whatever it is you want to call it that you do.
Rag on OpenSUSE all the time.
There's sure. definitely that. Yes, there's definitely that.
Yeah, that's kind of like saying you're such a loser. You got a Ferrari, man. You're a loser. So it's like I don't care.
if you want to call it a Ferrari, sure.
I'm just saying it's like that. It's the same kind of effect.
But to answer your question, Wendy, I'm actually not doing too bad. Had some. Traveling and stuff I had to do. I had some family trips that I had to go back up home and deal with some stuff. So unfortunately that required me to be away, but you know, it is good to be back and actually not just type and give Nate crap, but also verbally. Right. Well,
in person. Well, I mean, as in person as we get.
In virtual
right?
person. Yeah. Or in
virtual person.
I don't know how to.
In screen.
In screen. Right. Yeah. We don't live anywhere near close enough to have that happen in person. Unless we met somewhere at a Linux conference. Like that's probably the only way that's ever going
to
happen.
I could probably like drive to Matt in like what? It's like 12 hours, 10 hours, something like that, I think.
Okay.
If I really wanted to. And then the whole show, I could have my arm around his shoulders. He looked kind of, and we could just be like, hey, we're bros or something like that. I don't know.
No.
When I say bros, I want to punch myself in the face. So I beat you to it, Matt.
So seeing how we're on a tech podcast, Nate, are you being a tech bro?
I don't even know what that means. I'm culturally and socially a little bit slow, so I don't claim to know all these different little.
Well, given
and
your
Urban
video,
Dictionary is a little bit dangerous to go ask questions to.
Yeah.
So, well, Nate, given your reference for video gaming, you would be correct, and you're a little behind on any of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, see, I no argument there. See.
To be fair, Matt, you're a little bit behind too because you will buy older tech, but that's somewhat for the price savings, not necessarily because you want to run the old tech, but you can get good things at better prices with older tech.
I am cheap. If anything, I'm cheap on my hardware. I am not Michael, who the reason his tech is old is because it sits on a shelf for 6 years.
Right. Yes. He's also cheap, but he gets most of his upgrades from Ryan when Ryan upgrades, and then he passes on those upgrades to Michael. Yeah.
And then you have Nate, who's just, I think, stuck in 1990.
It's a, it's a happy place. So fun. The 80s and 90s were a magical time. And so if you say, yes,
I have a couple songs I need to share with you. You might get a kick out of them.
Oh, geez. I can only imagine.
I can't wait.
They're all going to be terrible pun songs, and I know it.
Yeah, for the most part, I think they are. So that's one reason why I think Nate will love them. So
shock.
Yes.
So I fell into like a Weird Al spiral this weekend. So it was great. It was like the happiest vortex I've ever fallen into.
It is fun. I do enjoy Weird Al myself. It is on my little bit of everything playlist. And when I call it a little bit of everything, it's literally because it is a little bit of, I guess not every type of music, because there's a lots of different types, but there's a very wide variety of music on there. Like everything from 40s, 50s country to like heavy metal and stuff in between.
Wow, that's quite the eclectic collection.
Mix. Mm-hmm. Mix. Yeah. So my daughter will shake her head when we go from like, when it's rolling through sometimes. She's like, wow, mom, like really? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, really. So what hardware did you get recently, Matt?
Well, so I got a few different things of hardware, but I'm only going to talk specifically about one because we don't want to wrap this show way too long and just around hardware. Mm. Those that know me know that I have a love-hate relationship with Apple and Mac OS.
Okay.
Right.
I've gone down the Apple route before. I lived in it for, I'd probably say, about a good 3 or 4 months, like full bore. All my commuting was done on Apple, etc. Just, I don't like guardrails on my tech. Like, I don't mind there being limitations like SteamOS kind of limitations where it's like, I can still break things if I want to. But when you make it almost obnoxious to install things. So I ended up picking up a 16-inch 2019 MacBook Pro because the Minis Forums issue that I had discussed in prior podcasts is
that's ongoing. An issue. Yeah.
But don't even get me started on that. Anyway.
wait, why not?
It's a longer story that I really don't want to get into at the moment.
Well, that sounds so, even juicier. So I will tell you later. I still understand why we can't squeeze
off,
this.
Off air, yes. So that I don't have to bleep out a series of
words. Oh, okay. All right. I got
you. It's probably most likely. He's trying to be kind to me.
Yes. So,
whoa,
I had a budget. Whoa. Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack.
I'm nice. See, here's the thing. I'm nice to her, not you. Different.
Oh, you flip crap too. I sent you an emoji of me wearing a halo and you told me I used duct tape and horns to hold it up.
No. That's just me giving you crap. Difference. Anyway, so I ended up picking up this MacBook Pro for a little over $500, somewhere in that price.
In that range. Was
what that was what I had money wise I could spend. So I got a Core i7, 6-core, 12-thread, I think it's an 8750 8th-gen processor, 32 gigs of RAM, 512 SSD, and the highest-end GPU I could possibly get in a laptop at the point, which was a Radeon RX 5500 M Pro, dear Lord, but it has 8 gigs of RAM thrown on the thing.
Okay.
Right.
That's what... trying to find something similar in Windows that wasn't beat up or anything else, kind of hard to do as far as spec wise for like a decent GPU and that kind of stuff. Anyway, once I found that, installing macOS, whatever, none of that really mattered to me. I forgot how much I hate the application installation process for apps outside of the App Store. So for and those that don't
what
know,
what percentage of your applications do you install outside of the App Store?
So to give you an idea, I would say, and I'm being generous in saying I probably have 20% of my apps installed from the App Store. 90%. Wow. I'm going to say probably 90% of my apps are from outside the App Store. So OBS, Darktable, Krita.
Your math isn't mathing. So 20% are from the App Store and 90% are outside of the App Store.
So he's got 110% of this app. His pie is 110%. So see, math is everything bigger and yes, better. So
maybe he should live in Texas.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But what I'm saying is most
your apps percent, do not come from the App Store. Yeah.
I can literally think of three apps right off the top of my head that are only ones that I use from the App Store. I use an app called Focus Matrix. I use Telegram and Discord.
Are they just not available in the App Store? Is that why? Or is it you just prefer a different source?
I don't shop through the App Store, honestly. And a lot of the stuff that I'm finding is that most of them aren't signed by digitally signed apps by Apple. So they haven't paid the developer fee and all that crap that you would generically have to do to be in the App Store and all the other nonsense. And yes, it's not expensive, but these are open source projects. So I generically tend to go to the source. So I'll go to Krita's website, download the DMG. For those that don't know what a DMG is, that is the install file format, or one of them on Apple. The other one is PKG. Once those are downloaded, then you click it and tell it to install. The thing pops up. Well, here's the problem. If you download it, sometimes it won't download. That's always fun. So you got to go to security and privacy because you'll try to run the app to install it.
Right.
And it says, this is download from the internet, but it's not signed. So then you have to go to security and privacy to tell it to install the app. So it's no different than using the password prompt, whatever. That's fine. When I click on the thing that's installed, once you drag and drop it into the applications folder.
Yeah.
When I run it, just run the app. I don't need to want to have to go and you tell me that this is a downloaded application you're trying to run. I already installed it. I know.
So time you go to run it, it does that? Or it just
on the initial run. And then once you have installed it, repeat prior step, go back to security and privacy and tell it to actually open the app. Then it leaves you alone. But how you make the Windows install process even worse.
Right.
Is beyond me. So fighting with that, I will give Apple credit. They finally fixed the biggest issue I had with, which was OBS. You couldn't record local audio from the machine.
Wait, what?
You had up until macOS, I think it was Sonoma, 12 was 10.12 something.
Yeah.
You couldn't so a creator's laptop, mind you. You could not record audio from the machine without using essentially jack, like the equivalent of jack or virtual audio cables on Windows to pipe it through and change it. They have fixed that. I will give them credit. So that's one of my biggest finally. But that was one of my biggest gripes with macOS. I'm like, you claim to be a creator's machine and I can't use it to record audio that's being played locally on the machine.
Though it took Apple forever to get on the USB-C bandwagon, so...
That is also the nice thing. This has 4 USB-C ports, and they all charge the laptop. Every single one of them.
That's nice. Right? That is nice.
I do like that.
Is that how many ports it has?
Yeah, of course, because Apple dongle life and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Another question. So is it... what size is this laptop? I'm sorry, is it 16-inch you said?
16-inch.
Okay.
But there was that. So Apple's fixed a few things. Still a really, really big headache. And don't get me started on when people complain about Linux gaming. Go run games on macOS. If you got a 32-bit,
you've mentioned how painful that is before, just incredibly painful.
So 32, and this is on Intel hardware with a dedicated GPU. This isn't M1 or M2, 3, 4, or whatever version they're up to now. So right. I'm not running on ARM. So then you got Pro, then you got Max, and then you got whatever's Ultimate or whatever.
Right, yeah.
There are games that literally will have macOS builds, but don't run because they're 32-bit games.
Okay.
Okay.
So they'll show up in your Steam library, and it will be probably won't run or will run. There's basically a Steam game logo with a crossed out logo through it telling you it won't work
because it's 32-bit and you can't have any 32-bit libraries
because macOS doesn't use 32-bit libraries at all.
So you can't, you can't sideload that or do some other
emulator thing or
I'm just saying so for a consumer
straight out of the box, brand, you're going to just load your Steam library and
it is not stellar.
Right.
So for people who want to know why people like Linux gamers complaining about getting rid of the 32-bit libraries from when Canonical wanted to do that. This is why.
Because of Mac. Yeah.
So I totally get it. And this is why I'm fine with like flat packs and App Image and all these other ones, because that solves a lot of that problem. But
it still preserves those games to make them playable. Yeah.
Yes. So anybody who says the experience of Mac OS doesn't have its problems can't objectively sit here and look at it and not say it doesn't have problems.
Right.
They're not as bad as some of them, but people who use it all the time, like Windows or Linux, they've just learned to cope and deal with the problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's an honest take on it. There are things I like about Mac OS. I have the one with the MacBook Pro with the touch bar. Touch bar is basically useless to me generally, but there's an app called POC that literally puts the dock down into the touch bar. So the touch bar is actually useful because I can switch my apps without having to mouse around. And I will still say Mac OS still has the most fluid multi-touch gestures on the touchpad, trackpad, whatever you want to call it. But so overall,
is this MacBook running the latest version of whatever Mac OS is? Okay. It's new enough to have the latest version.
This is the very last generation of Intel-based Macs that they ever made, currently supported by the current version of Mac OS. So I'm not doing like a DOS Dude one, which generically makes Mac OS work on unsupported Macs and all that kind of stuff. I'm not doing any of that. So anybody who's going to say that, oh, you know, you're not doing it the right way or whatever, this is supported hardware.
Right.
I will say I do like that Apple does seamless graphic switching a whole lot better than either Windows or Linux.
Which I can attest to can be a ripping pain in the rear end.
I can speak to it too. Just look at the eGPU situation and stuff.
So that you've been going through. Yeah.
So there is plenty of stuff that I can like about Mac OS and Apple. I just don't like the guardrails. I don't mind the guardrails being there for some of the people who should use them, need them. But when you get in my way all the time, from the download to the install to you only want me to use your store. I don't want to use your store. Go away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my experience with Mac OS. As a travel machine, like whatever, it's fine. It does what I need it to.
It's been working. Yeah.
Yeah, it works. It's fine. Like, that's the thing. Like any OS I've been able to get work done on, it's just how much do I want to bash my head off a wall? Apple just makes me bash my head off a wall a little more than Windows.
Right. And we've talked in the last two shows where you haven't been around that I'm in the process of looking for a travel machine, though I still need to pack like multiple monitors with me when I take it. I don't know. Just the whole thought of it makes me blah. So I'm going to put you on this. Hey, I'm on the lookout for a very well-priced travel work machine.
Give me a budget and I'll after the show and
we'll talk. Yeah.
I can look. Yep. But
I kept cutting you off, Nate. What were you going to say?
Go ahead, Nate.
It must not have been very important because I forgot.
Mine of a goldfish, folks. Mine of a goldfish.
More like crappie. Let's go with crappie.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say guppy.
Whatever. Minnow. On a 3-hour tour. Wait, different kind of minnow.
No, not even on a three-hour tour. So while I've been jumping around into new hardware, sort of, Nate, you seem to be quite all over the place with some things, especially over at cubiclenate.com.
Yes. Although that's probably the theme of cubiclenate.com in general, all over the place. It's whatever thing I'm problem solving or I'm curious about, whatever I try to, you know, put there. But so a few weeks ago on Linux Saloon, we did an exploration or application appetizer, I should say, of DistroBox with BoxBuddy. We talked about DistroBox a little bit over the years and we should try it. And so Jinda, who's a regular on Linux Saloon, he says, well, have you tried BoxBuddy? I'm like, oh my gosh, no. So it's like a graphical front end. So this would be good for you, Matt, if you want to play with DistroBox, a graphical front end for using the command line, you know, goodness. The whole idea was just to try it out. And so for me, what I wanted to do was to see if I could install some applications that aren't necessarily available, like on OpenSUSE trying some like the Kali tools. I did some Ubuntu tools as well that are just, they're available on those distributions. And what's cool about DistroBox is it uses Docker as the technology underneath it at the user level. And so you can, as a user, you can run applications as though they're running on your host, your native system. And if you add the applications, it actually shows up in your menu and everything, but it's launching it within the DistroBox container. And it's really cool technology. And what's also cool about this is another way of getting applications you want on an immutable distribution. So think Steam Deck. So, and Matt, I was being a little bit like cagey with you in when you were trying to, you know, give me a hard time about something with the Steam Deck. But I am running, in a manner of speaking, OpenSUSE on a Steam Deck. And now you understand why.
You're still running on an Arch system.
You're right. But in a manner of speaking, I'm running OpenSUSE. Just like in a manner of speaking, I am running Ubuntu as well, along with everything else that I like on my hardware. And so what's cool about this, it's like getting the best mix of all the worlds, because the Steam OS is fine-tuned for the Steam Deck, right? They've done all the work. They've made it all work. And there's just some tooling on it I just don't like. So rather than try and just wipe off everything that is Steam OS related and put OpenSUSE on there, which, you know, is my inclination, instead I can just incorporate the elements of OpenSUSE that I really like and use that repository of applications that I enjoy using with the package manager I enjoy using and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to worry about messing with any of those underlying bits that is annoying about SteamOS. So essentially, I get everything that I want now because of DistroBox and BoxBuddy, more because of DistroBox. And so now it's a load of fun.
So what I'm hearing though, Nate, is you're still doing all this on an Arch-based system.
Right, but I don't have to interact with the Arch-based bits at all. So I can leave that up to Valve to manage a system. I can, you know, give them my trust to ensure that I get the best experience of the Steam Deck, and then I can utilize the wonderful bits of the OpenSUSE world just as I would like on the Steam Deck. And it's all kosher. So like when I do upgrades on the Steam Deck, nothing that I've done is wiped away. It's all there. It's there in perpetuity until I decide to wipe out that container. So anyway, so that's what I was doing. And that kind of sort of tangentially is related to the next article that I did, was about Linux gaming with anti-cheat. It's a work in progress, and actually it looks really quite good. So if you are somebody who does games that do, you know, AAA titles and whatever else that are, you know, it's important to you to have anti-cheat working properly. There's a website called Are We Anti-Cheat Yet? I think is what it's called. I think I'm reading correctly. And I learned about this at the Ubuntu Summit that I was at this last year. And so I was digging into it and trying to understand some stuff about it. Anyway, so the good news is if you buy the numbers, the whole anti-cheat piece is actually not very grim in the Linux world. Yes, there are still dodo birds over, like, let's say Epic, that are basically denying the any kind of anti-cheat. But there's actually a surprising number that are planned where they're going to incorporate anti-cheat to work in Linux. I mean, they're from the game house itself. They are actually working on incorporating that. So it really does actually look quite good overall. So, you know, basically more than half the games out there are either supported or running with anti-cheat successfully. And I think that is a great story. And although I'm not a big gamer, I mean, there's no anti-cheat in Descent from 1992 or whatever, 94. So there's, you know, no problems there. But overall, this really does look good. So I think that it's just a positive story. And I'm just excited to see that the numbers are going in the correct direction from my perspective. And I think Linux has all the potential in the makings and is really on track to be the the distribution or the platform to do gaming. And I think between the work of Valve and so many others in the community, I think that's the story to tell.
That's kind of the question I have for you, maybe both of you, is do you think the success of the Steam Deck has helped lead to more companies getting on the bandwagon?
So, you mean like just specifically the Linux gaming or like the anti-cheat portion of
it? The anti-cheat portion of it. I mean, they were already headed in that direction before the Steam Deck was big, but do you think it's helped aid it?
I think so.
Yeah, definitely. So the anti-cheat is always annoying because it depends on like what you're playing. Like, are you talking like DRM, like Denuvo, which is like kernel level stuff for like single player games, or you're talking like anti-cheat for like, you know, multiplayer games like Easy Anti-Cheat and BattleEye, and then you got some various outliers like Valorant that use its own archaic thing and then whatever. So I think it's definitely helped a lot, but there are those major, and I'm not going to say they're not major games or major outliers that will impede certain people, but I think generally that it's helped Linux gaming and whatnot. I think Epic could do with a boot to their butt to we're not sure if this will help. Something along the lines of like, we can't port Fortnite to Linux because we're not sure like our own anti-cheat will be effective because we can't configure for every combination of stuff. Bruh, you can't configure for every combination of Windows stuff.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's impossible. Nobody can.
And it should also be noted that anti-cheat technically is a form of malware. Technically, so
well. I don't want to use Linux. It's a little weird. Well, Linux is a little weird with it because it's like where does it actually hit the kernel? And like we don't know where it actually coincides in Linux because a lot of this stuff is done through translation layers.
Mm-hmm.
So like the calls that it's making to the Linux kernel could be totally different than the calls it would make in Windows. But. Generally, you are correct. It is. It reminds me a lot of anti-cheat is very Star Force, and anybody who knows what Star Force was back in the early 2000s will know exactly what I mean. It ring zero bad. When the DRM boots up before your OS and before
that is BIOS, bad.
Just
yes,
just under is, your BIOS.
Yeah, that's no good.
That is definitely bad.
So. I would call it, you know, some people will call it malware, other people will call it rootkits and whatnot, but
that's essentially a rootkit. Yeah. Malware.
Yeah.
Cause you don't know what they could be doing nefarious things at that level. And that's
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just want to share that a little bit, you know, I wanted to talk about that while Matt was here, you know, not playing hooky, doing things like working or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But yeah,
yes.
Just cause I wanted that conversation, but yeah. So those are the exciting things. But now, Wendy, you have some exciting news about mobile entertainment.
Yes, yes, mobile entertainment. So the first thing is I talked to you guys after, well, I guess not Matt. Matt wasn't here, but I talked to you after I had pre-ordered my OnePlus 12. It mm-hmm. is here. I've had it for, well, it showed up just before Idaho State. And I've been really, really happy with it so far, but I was bummed that there weren't dbrand skins for it.
Was that before the 5-hour, 3-hour trip?
Yes, because that came the week after.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yes, yes, that came the week after.
Wendy, my inner geek has to know, stock or custom?
Right now, it is still stock. I don't know that there's a whole lot custom available for it yet. My OnePlus 9 did eventually go with Lineage OS, so I'm not saying that this one won't eventually too. But one of the things that I loved was the dbrand skin on mine because it had been on there for 3 years. Like, it was still in amazing condition, and I wanted one for this phone. And I went to look it up, and I'm like, there's nothing for the 12, and there wasn't anything for the 11, so the odds are they're not going to get one for the 12. Well, after we put out that show, and the phone launched, they actually had skins for the 12. And so I was excited. They had some nice looking ones. And I almost ordered one, but didn't go ahead and hit the buy button. I was wanting some of the teardown ones, which apparently they're not currently making new versions of them. And I was kind of bummed. And I went to check again a little while later, and they have the X-ray versions of it. So you can still see the internals of the phone in an X-ray fashion. Looks super, super awesome. I'm expecting it'll hold up just as good. I had the wood texture on my OnePlus 9, and of course, putting a clear case over it, because you have to, if you're putting a skin on it, you have to be able to see the skin, right? I mean, that's part of the point. And I have to have a case because I dropped my phones. So I'm super excited about that. The dbrand skin is on its way. And by the time we record next, I should have it on there and I'll get to show you exactly how it looks. So this is it now. This is in a OnePlus case. I ordered it with the phone. Like I said, so far I'm liking it. I'm just kind of bummed I can't get glass screen protectors because it does have the rounded edges here. And so you're having to use the TPU style ones, which has me a bit worried. Yeah, I've broke a lot of glass screen protectors. So we'll see how this goes. Hopefully it survives Wendy for a whole year. We're not talking Magneto here. We're just wondering if it will survive Wendy for a whole year.
So,
and what hasn't survived? Yes.
How long does a phone typically last for you? Like if you get a year, is that...
OnePlus 9, I got 3 years out of. Okay. Pretty good. And then one of the biggest reasons why it was time to upgrade was battery life just wasn't great anymore. It just was nowhere near what it used to be. And I found that I was having a hard time getting through the day, and I've got really long days. So my Thursdays right now are... they're definitely over 12 hours, looking like 16-hour days just out of the house. You know, 16-hour days gone from the house. And I was having to charge my phone at robotics and that kind of stuff. So it just wasn't making it through the day anymore. And I probably could have gotten a new battery and replaced it. It's still a solid phone. It's definitely not going anywhere. But for me, I felt like it was time for an upgrade for the device. Magneto's OnePlus 9, this is the amazing thing. It also lasted him 3 years.
Wow. What's happened? Are his powers fading?
I don't know. I have no idea. I know the build quality on them was pretty good. He had complaints from the beginning. Like, he wasn't a big fan of the Oxygen UI. And there was things that he was missing from the Motorola line. And I have to be fair. Like, the chop your phone to get the flashlight on is amazing. I think all phones should have that.
Yes. But that's actually the feature that makes me lean more Motorola, because you have to, like, you know, futz around with your phone just to, like, turn on the flashlight.
Yeah.
That's just silly.
Get the flashlight on.
Just like, you
just
know.
Just a simple action and shake. It's on. So he's actually back on Motorola. He's been on a Motorola Think phone since before I picked mine up, because I didn't pre-order his. And he's been happy. He's been liking it. So
I will say, though, if you do sprints with your phone in the Motorola, it turns on and off. I just want to point that out there, because as you're like really, like, you know, getting after it, you know, the phone lights up and then turns off the
it
light.
It shakes and you turn your flashlight on.
Mm-hmm. So.
So the question is, Wendy, is Magneto going to be the case study for the Think phone line, like you've seen for people do with the Think pads of old?
Possibly. To be fair, his personal phones get less rigorous use now, because where he works, he has a company phone and then his personal phone. So when he's in the job site, the personal phone is staying in the work truck. You know, it's not actively being used. So that does help protect it from some of the dust, some of the grease and that kind of thing. But that could be part of the reason why the OnePlus 9 lasted a little bit longer than some of the previous phones. It's just not in the elements quite as much as some of the earlier ones have been. We'll see how it goes. I'm pretty sure we'll get a year into it and he'll start having some complaints. We'll just see how long I can push the upgrade.
I mean, the Think phone, it's not $400 for a decent. I mean, it's a decent looking phone. I mean, I don't know.
And the specs, it's a solid phone. It's one of those phones that if Motorola would have had Motorola, Lenovo, like same company now, if they would have marketed it better, I think would have sold better. But they marketed it as a business phone. And yes, it does have some really cool business features. Like that one's a plug and play webcam. Like it has some really cool features that you can use for business. But overall, in general, it is a solid phone. And because it didn't sell as well, just because of the niche that they were trying to put it in, even though they could have broadened that out, it just didn't sell very well. And so their loss, our gain. It's been a great phone for him. Very, very solid phone with some awesome features. It does not like my OnePlus fast charger, though. Does not like it at all. And I don't know why, but
so it doesn't. I found one thing when it comes to the fast chargers, Wendy. It all depends on the wattage that they test with the phone for the fast charger.
Yeah, and this is a super high-powered one because this phone, holy crap, like, I know I get up in the morning, hey, it's getting a little low, I pop it on there, I go moisturize my face, and I can pull it off and then use it for at least 24 hours. No problems.
Yeah, so I think that's probably what it is, and with it being a business phone, it's probably a little more conservative.
It does have fast charging, but nowhere near the level that this one has and what that charger can put out. When we were in Utah for the qualifiers, one of the kids on my team forgot to bring his phone charger, and it was an iPhone, and it popped on there, no problem. It didn't have any issues. So I don't know whether it's like where maybe that fast charger thing is located or, you know, whatever. It didn't agree with it. It did not it at all.
Yeah, I've had a few phones that with the fast chargers is like, yep, nope.
it's just not digging it. And maybe one from a different company or something that doesn't charge quite as fast. But that's one of the things that I love about this phone and that charger is, like I said, just throw it on there. I can even have the book or whatever still playing, go moisturize my face, come back, and I'm set. And I don't even have to throw it on the charger then. I could have gotten away with at least another 12 hours, if not more. Battery on it has been pretty awesome, even with the books, the music, the videos, and all of that kind of stuff playing. But one thing that hadn't been awesome was I had shared my Skullcandy earbuds that I'd gotten for Christmas. And at first, they were working fantastically. Like, absolutely loving them, though I had noticed that if I was wearing them in the car, and I do drive a V10 Ford Excursion right now, Trailblazer died, and the V10 in that Excursion is a bit loud, especially when I'm on the freeway.
Mm.
And I couldn't have my earbuds in. Yeah, I couldn't have my earbuds in and talk to somebody because they couldn't hear me. And so then I was finding that I was just answering the phone and holding it up instead of being hands-free. And I'm like, this doesn't work. Definitely don't want to get a ticket for being on my phone when I'm supposed to be hands-free. And I got a coupon because I had bought my OnePlus to pick up a set of the OnePlus 3 buds. So that's what I have in here. They're that peg style earbud instead of the more rounded ones. The Skull Candies are over there, but I'll drop links to the ones that I have. I am sending the Skull Candies back for a repair because it wasn't just the issue with call quality. Sometimes I was dropping them in the case and trying to, you know, making sure the connections were good connections, and sometimes it still wasn't charging, or I would close the lid and they wouldn't disconnect, and then go to use my phone and not being able to hear it through the speakers on it. So they were having some other issues, and they're going in for a warranty repair. But I have been using them for my book earbuds at night. I've lost my pair that plug in to my phone, and so I still needed something, and they've worked pretty good for that. So I will still keep them around for that, but the call quality on these ones so far has been much better. This is the first pair of earbuds I have that have active noise cancellation, which has been pretty nice, and you can adjust how much noise cancellation you're getting, or if you want transparency. So the sounds around you are coming through your earbuds as well. They have three different microphones. They're not the OnePlus Bud Pro, but I like these ones enough that if they do come up with a Pro 3 version, which might be happening, might not, I haven't heard any words on it, I would probably go ahead and pick those up because I do like these ones so well. And they need to be something that has good, really good call quality, because it seems like I'm in the car constantly anymore. We're traveling to or from robotics, or hey, we're out of food, I finally need to go like put some groceries in the house so my kids have something to eat. And so that call quality for me has been really, really important. It, you know, to me, like I don't have an audiophile ear. It's not like I'm like, oh yeah, the music sounds better on these than those. My concern is how well do they fit, for one, and two, if I'm in a noisy environment, because I almost always am, how well can the other person hear me? So far, these are holding up pretty gosh dang good.
Well, that's excellent. So I'm always in the market for new earbuds. I think I got some earbuds maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the batteries don't last very long anymore. And I think maybe it's time to either repair them and then fail miserably and then buy some. So I'd be interested in knowing if how that works out for you, like overall.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated on how they go. I've only had these since Saturday. We're recording on a Tuesday, so I've only had them for a couple days. But I have been using the crap out of them so far. I do like the fact that these ones are dual connect, so they're connected to my phone right now as well as my computer, which I love stuff that can do that. I have a pair of Bose over-the-ear headphones that are also dual connect. You know, the ones that don't work for Bluetooth anymore because wired both sides plug in, but over Bluetooth only one side works. I still use them wired all the time when I play like video games with my daughter when we're playing Phasma or whatnot. But for other things, I like these so far. I'll let you know. The Skullcandy ones did take a fall out of my pocket. These ones haven't taken a fall yet. So maybe some of the issues with the Skullcandy ones are the fact that they did hit the ground pretty hard.
And
case and all, out of my sweatshirt pocket. So,
and did it survive-ish then? I mean, any issues after the fall?
They did. They survived. But I am having connections where sometimes, you know, they're not charging, especially the right earbud more. And the right earbud is the one that I've used the most at this point. Yeah, we'll see. This side, these ones are kind of bothering on this side a little bit. And it's just the angle in which my dath was pierced on this side. Because on the right side, it's fine. It's just irritating a bit on the left, and I don't know if that's something that eventually like will go away if I continue to wear them, just kind of build up that resistance to them or not. But they are kind of that, I don't know, I guess you would say Apple-ish shape, but they have the earbud tips that you can change, which I have to have. I can't wear the Apple ones at all. Like those just don't work. They don't fit my ear canal. These also have where you can take like the hearing test that goes with them, and they'll change kind of like the audio for your ear. So if those are things that you're interested in, things that you want in your earbuds, they do have pretty good features. These ones, if you're buying them full price, they're $100, but it's pretty easy to get a $30 discount on them and bringing them with a lot of features down to the prices of some of the lower end earbuds. So
also, Nate, because you're a DIY person.
Yes.
Look at the Pine Buds Pro.
Look at the what?
Ooh, I didn't even know that they had earbuds.
Yeah. I don't know what that either.
Pine 64.
Pine
has Buds headphones.
Okay. I'm going to
what?
Pine.
They are $69. Sorry, $69.99.
Open firmware.
Mm-hmm.
Six microphones, nice. Hybrid adaptive ANC technology. Don't know what that means.
Nice.
Active noise cancellation.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, paint me green and call me Mr. Sousa. That's actually, that looks like the direction I may go.
And they have
these are more the shape of my Skull Candy ones. That kind of ovalish outer shape.
they rest in kind of the actual ear canal as opposed to the
And one of the upsides of these, and I think that stem shape, is they can add more microphones to them, because I know these ones have three mics on them, which helps with that active noise cancelization. But
then you can they already have spare parts you can buy for them. Oh my gosh.
Perfect. Yep,
they do.
5 hours of playtime.
I cannot. This is awesome.
6 microphones? Is that must be 3 per bud. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Because I guess these would be considered 6.
And 2 cart. Thanks a lot,
Matt. I totally did not. Are you buying them right now is the question.
Yeah.
Okay. So that has been 2 times we have recorded now that some of us have bought stuff while we're in the middle of recording.
This show is costing me so much money, Wendy. I don't know. I don't know if this is sustainable.
Nate, my purchase still outranks yours. I literally bought my Steam Deck.
That's true.
On the show. Yep.
I got the notification prompt from my Steam account saying, hey, your order's ready. Okay, here's my wallet.
Wow. Take my money.
Yes.
Yep. I threw my credit card at the screen.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay, so probably shift over to
show. I'm busy.
I meant for Wendy, not you, dum-dum.
Well, I'm busy. I can't right now.
There's no shortage of opinions on this show, as you've noticed so far, especially if you have been a long-term listener. There's always opinions thrown out here. And I didn't even know this is a thing, but apparently there is a jerk, and yes, I'm editing that for the PGG nature of the show, subreddit. And I, like I said, I didn't realize that this was a thing. And there's another creator that I listened to and stuff, and she was going through some other Am I a Jerk posts, and her community live were passing some judgments. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to do this with Matt and Nate, but on a technology level. So some of these are old. I pulled out 3 that I think would be kind of fun for us to go through and have that discussion of the am I the jerk conversation. And I think with all 3 of these, we're going to touch like different aspects of the community. Yeah, none of these are specifically Linux themselves, but I believe it's stuff that we all are dealing with or have dealt with or have seen in our time here in the tech world. So the first one, and this is the one that I actually found first when I did a search for technology-related ones. Am I the jerk for refusing to be tech support for my grandmother's Christmas present? I have changed my age and the gift slightly because my dad uses Reddit, but the change details basically don't change the main story. So helping with their identity, I guess you could say. I'm 17 female. I've been the go-to tech support for basically my entire family for as long as I can remember. It's incredibly frustrating because I don't have a huge interest in most of these things, but because I'm apparently the only person able to use a search engine and I'm the young one, I magically absorbed all of the knowledge at birth. It's frustrating enough with my parents, but for Christmas, they wanted to buy my grandmother, 60s female, smartwatch, and I said, please don't expect me to get involved. I already have to go over and visit her a few times a month to explain how her email app works or explain why she doesn't have to worry about NTFS. And I resent that. It's just expected of me. Anyway, they bought the gift and I have refused to set it up. I can't imagine it's very difficult. Literally any of them could do it by following the instructions on the box or following a YouTube video, but her gift has been unopened and her holidays ruined because she and my parents demand that I sort it out and I'm the Christmas Grinch. They have also taken my own present, a Switch Lite, from me too. She can't enjoy her holidays knowing her granddaughter doesn't care about her. What if she dies tomorrow morning and the last thing you did was refuse to help her? It's just so frustrating, and all of the things they say can be applied to them because it's not like we're building an entire computer from scratch. We're taking a watch out of a box and turning it on. I'm not sure if I'm being the jerk in refusing on principle, but being told only I can do it and being an unpaid tech support when I don't even find any happiness in it is so frustrating. So that's a little different from us because this person doesn't enjoy tech and we do. But this hit home in the fact that I know many of us get called to be tech support whether we want to or not.
So I'm back and forth on this. Like as you're reading, I'm like, not the jerk, the jerk, not the jerk, the jerk, not the jerk, the jerk.
Right.
So I have to think about like, I'm not her, obviously. I'm not 17 for one, and I don't have a Switch Lite. But, I get it. I understand her reasons. But because I care about... Like, I would rather injure myself than injure somebody else. It's just kind of my mentality. I would rather take the pain upon myself to do that than and be tech support. I do tech support for some elderly people, and it can be very frustrating. And they're one of the greatest gifts to me has been remote desktop. And if you can do remote into it, that solves most of your problems. If they can't turn it on, that's another issue. But the watch, I mean, a watch is just a watch. You know, I mean, how much time is it really going to take?
It's
just a watch. And then it might be just something else. And then just something else. I get it. But you know what? 60 years old, odds are you only have to support that thing for, well, the watch, probably 3-4 years. Grandma, 10 more years, maybe statistically speaking, maybe 20. So it's really not that much more time. I know it sounds awful, but we're all steadily marching to that day. And, you know, I'm not so far off myself. But I, you know, I mean, like when it comes to like, you know, when grandma's gone, you can say at the funeral, God, I don't have to do tech support anymore. You know, whatever. You can be a jerk then. But don't be a jerk while she's alive, I guess. I don't know. That's, again, I would rather take the pain of myself and grumble quietly and do it with a cheerful attitude because that's just who I am.
So right now, your vote is the person who wrote this post is the jerk.
I would go. So after hearing the entire story, again, I was back and forth. After hearing the entire story, right. I'm going to say she's the jerk.
Okay.
So I'm going to be totally contrarian to Nate and say not the jerk. I will say the parents are the jerks.
Sure, they are too. But they can all be jerks in this one.
So your vote could be like there's like all everybody's like, a jerk here. Yeah.
No, I'm not the OP person, the original poster is not the jerk. The parents are the jerk. If that is the gift that they themselves, if they are the ones that purchased it for grandma, you as the adult are taking on the responsibility of that purchase for grandma. Don't pawn it off onto the kid.
Okay, well, hold on. I'm going to make a counterpoint on here. She's 17 and she's still living at home.
Most 17-year-olds do live at home.
Not all, but yes, you're right,
Nate.
Hold on.
Not all,
but she's living at home. I don't see
30-year-olds are still at home.
I was
so
not.
You're saying it's almost like a chore, like it's my chore. Kids have, right? Yep. You live here, you do the dishes. You live here, you help do laundry. You live here, you help clean the bathroom.
I make my oldest be tech support for his youngest sibling.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would rather do the dishes.
Okay.
That's not true. But like somebody's like, all right, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm becoming an old man because if it's like a PlayStation thing, I have no, like, I really feel like I am like my father was with computer stuff. Just show me how to do it because mm-hmm. I don't want to learn this PlayStation thing. It's irritating. Now I have since actually learned it, but there's a part of me that doesn't want to learn a bit of new technology, specifically the PlayStation, because I think it's a terrible interface. Like their user interface is like garbage. I think complete utter. The way they organize it is just, if anybody complains about the settings on Plasma and has used the PlayStation, they have no room to talk. Anyway, so I can kind of understand like why maybe mom and dad don't want to do tech support because they don't really, their brains are full and, you know, the store's closing. I don't learn anything new. That could be it. I'm just saying it might be it. I don't know.
Then, so I have a counter to your okay. counter. Buy grandma a better stinking gift.
Or gift that's not tech. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's probably a smart direction to go too. But I still think
so.
You're 17. You're living at home. Just do what your parents want you to do. If you don't like it, miraculously get a great job, you know, and then go and move yourself out.
And then move out.
Yeah. So
see, I don't think this is where kind of like I've been back and forth too. Is she the jerk? Is she not? And I have a feeling that even if she moves out, right, she's still going to be demanded to be tech support. And the fact that grandma is being manipulative in her words and her parents are being very manipulative in their words, like, you don't love me because you won't do this tech thing for me. When the daughter was up front, hey, you came to me and you asked, should we get this for grandma? And I was like, don't do it. And you did it anyway. You came to me. You valued my opinion on whether we should get this for grandma.
Well, maybe they didn't value the opinion.
Because I understand her frustrations where somebody has a piece of technology and you showed them, it feels like hundreds of times, at least 10 plus times, how to use the device. And they refuse to actually learn how to use the device. And so you're constantly stuck in this same tech loop cycle. Like, I know this is what the problem is. I've shown you how to fix it. Like, I've walked you through it. I've given you resources for it. And we keep coming back to the fact that you won't fix it on your own. You expect somebody else to constantly come back and fix it for you. So my vote is almost like, everybody's the jerk here. Mom and dad are jerks for asking her opinion and then not following through it. Grandma's a jerk for some of the things that she's saying to her granddaughter about the device. Her granddaughter about the device. And the granddaughter's a jerk for, you know, not helping to set up the thing. I think there's no winners. There's no winners in this situation. Everybody's a jerk.
So I think what the 17-year-old needs to do is buy a domain or something, call it cubiclejerk.com. I don't know. And then
cubiclejerk.com.
And then just start, you know, putting how to do these things, and then you can just link the address.
Right, but I have a feeling that
that'd be more work.
That grandma and mom and dad wouldn't read it.
Maybe.
If they won't read the instructions that come in the box with the device, like, why would they go read the website?
So, funny story, totally off topic, not exactly off topic.
Yeah.
I set up a conference room at work, and I actually spiral bound a manual with all, not a lot of pages, but with everything in there with a table of contents, and I still got questions. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So people be people. Mm-hmm.
People be people.
If you don't want, if you're not motivated to learn it, you're not going to learn it.
You're not motivated to learn it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I would say that's my biggest complaint with being tech support for people is if you want this device, you want to use this device, at least please be willing to try and learn the device. If you don't want it, I don't want to force a device on you that you don't want to learn. Kind of like the PlayStation thing. Hey, I got it for the kids. This is your device. Like, learn it. I don't want to figure it out, which you eventually did. But
I didn't want to, under protest. Say,
I want this thing. I want this technology. And then be like, but I don't want to learn how to fix it. Like, even the basic, oh no, my phone won't ring, and just figuring out how to turn it off silent, like basic things.
Why doesn't my phone work? Oh, it's in airplane mode.
Right. Yes. Yes. And being consistently unwilling to learn how to fix those things on your own, which I would consider very basic things for a smartphone use.
So it's funny you say that. I actually got a tech call at like 9 o'clock at night. Someone says, I cannot get into the VPN. And I said, okay, well, let me log in your computer. And it was offline. And I said, well, your computer's offline. Oh, it's in airplane mode. I'm sorry. And then they let me go. But anyway.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, I was
Nate, difference is you're being paid for that.
It's true.
Yes.
But yes. You are paid with love and affection by your grandma and parents, even if it is conditional.
I don't know. If grandma's saying words like, what if I die tomorrow, is that love and affection?
No, that's actually manipulation. But yeah. You're right. They're all jerks. But I think you should rise up and be the bigger person and say, you know what? You're all jerks, but I'm going to help you out with this, but you're jerks. That's, I think, how
right.
I approach it.
I totally get that. I totally get that, which is why I don't think we have a consensus here. I think we all have.
So Nate says the OP is the jerk. I say the parents are the jerk. Wendy says
everyone's the jerk. A jerk.
No, I think they're all jerks. I think I agree with Wendy.
You would agree with that vote? Yeah.
I think you said OP. Is that the term?
Original poster.
Yeah. As the OP put it, I think the onus is upon her to rise up and be better than her parents and grandparents. That's what I think.
In every life situation, we would hope that we would be the better person, right? But
That's not how life works.
I know I've had my petty standoffs, and I will admit that if I had someone telling me things like what grandma was saying, just out of my sheer donkiness, I would be like, go fly a kite.
Yep, I get it. No, I get it. I don't think you're wrong. I think I'm just...
So I would be the jerk as well, right? Like
I'm putting myself in the situation, and what I would do is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Wendy, you'll probably have to edit this portion out. Sorry.
Okay.
Yep, we'll do that. And Wendy, and on that, about edit this part out. Anyway, I'm just saying, I would, even in a situation where they're...
We know that you're the nice guy, Nate, and right, that's why you finish last.
That's why I finish last, and I walk like Bruce Banner with a Lonely theme playing. That's the way
right?
it goes.
Yes.
So for context, I am more in the OP's favor because I do the same thing to Ryan.
Mm. But he helps you out.
When there's certain things. In fairness, I've also helped Ryan out, and I just don't talk about those things.
Right,
but
right, yeah.
We won't get into that.
Yes, yes. Okay, so topic two.
All right.
Am I the jerk for not letting my kids use their electronics during the week? I am a first-time poster on this subreddit. I hope you guys can help. Sorry if there's any errors. I'm writing this on my tablet. Total dad mode. A little more info regarding my question. Oh, sorry, mom mode. I am a mother of three kids. I have a 16-year-old son and two daughters, 14 years old and 13 years old. When they come back from school, I take their phones and put them in my bedroom so they have no access to them. They only get to use their devices on the weekend. That includes their PlayStation or my laptop. My son complains, saying all of his friends don't have their phones and other stuff confiscated as soon as they get home. He also complains he can't have his phone in his room overnight. They argue that since their grades and behavior is good, which is true most of the time, they shouldn't be punished. I'm worried that if they're allowed to use their stuff, they will start slipping in school. So, am I the jerk?
Yes.
So, that's a... I'm going to say that's a hard one, because that's a parenting choice. That's how you're going to raise your kid. So for me, I'm going to say...
Who is childless. So you can see this from the outside, yes, without having
kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, the kids, doom scrolling is actually a thing.
Just right.
Going down the rabbit hole.
And not just social media kids, thing for thousands, millions of adults.
For
too.
Thousands, yes, of people.
Totally.
People will doom scroll when they, I'm going to go to bed and spend 2 hours on their phone just scrolling through social media thing here, or whatever. So, like I said, for me, I can get where they're coming from as a parent in that regard, because it is a thing. On the same note, if it's conditional, I'm not going to really if you have set conditions to access that. So like if you maintain insert grades here, it makes plenty of sense. So like you're giving them a reward, but if you take away the reward, once things start to slip, it pro con, you give, take,
right.
Life in general,
have some trust.
But if you have a 6-year-old that complains about it, that's a little different. I've never understood. Like here's your 4-year-old with a phone. And it's like,
Doc, and that's all they do is kind of on their device all the time. Yeah.
Okay. So those that don't know, I work retail. I see a lot of kids with a lot of iPads that are still annoyingly obnoxious and yell, scream, mom, I want, give me my iPad. Give me an insert thing here. And they're the most annoying things on the planet. And I use that term things very specifically because it's the attitude. Is I'm not saying the child, I'm saying the attitude that it presents, because it shows bad parenting from an outside observer and someone who has to hear it and deal with it. So that, like, I can't call them a jerk because that's their way of parenting. I would say it's a little extreme. The take it all away, you get it on the weekend and that's it. That's a little extreme to me for the older ones. The younger one makes a little more sense.
Right.
So here's more or less, here's my stance on it. So like, it's after school, they got their homework done. You know, I want to play Minecraft too with them. So.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, I have taken away the privilege of playing games because when they don't do what they're supposed to do. I've done that and I have no problem doing that. Can I play Skylanders, Imaginators? No, you can't, because you don't have your Latin work done. Get the Latin work done, and then you can do that. So I would rather use... Now, my kids aren't like into the social media as much. Now, I don't know, like when they're with me, at least they're not. So I don't know. When they're with me, they want to do things with me. So I can't... I don't know exactly what's going on outside when they're not with me. But over the weekend, my daughter didn't really so much, but my boys and I, we all played Minecraft together and it was fun. And if I don't want to, it's going to hurt me just as much as it hurts you to not be able to like do fun things. Honestly, it will, as long as we get the chores done, we get the, get everything done that needs to be done within reason. I want to have those experiences with my kids where they're like, I remember when dad used to play with me, I'd like them to have those memories, those positive memories. And so that's what I'm more interested in. I mean, like sometimes I get annoyed when, they want to watch like YouTubers talking about Minecraft. I'm like, how about you just play it instead? So
let's just go play it.
Yeah. Just like do it. And so like my youngest likes learning the commands, and then he does weird things and blows me up, and I have to respawn, and he's like command locks me and everything else. I don't even know what he's doing, but the 9-year-old is like, making my life miserable sometimes in Minecraft. But anyway, but it's to me, that's
that's fun. Okay. My daughter just sent me her birthday wish list, and she Rickrolled me in her birthday wish list.
Oh my gosh!
Like,
your daughter has
fantastic. Done fantastic.
Yeah, my oldest Rickrolled me lately too. He said, "Scan this,"
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, "Okay," and then, you know, I'm never going to give you up. So
the internet is coming full circle.
If they say pull my finger, hey, scan this, it's a Rickroll. Like, just don't do it. Don't trust it.
It's been such a long time since I was Rickrolled. I wasn't even thinking about it. So he timed it really well.
Well, the thing is she had it labeled on here as Lord of the Rings Middle Earth map. And I was like, oh, cool. Which one did she find? She knew I would click that link.
Well done.
Well done, child. Well done.
So I guess I have actually seen, I'm going to be very careful how I say this. I have actually seen some mm-hmm. situations where kids have that kind of a, you can't have electronics at all. And then when they come to my house, it's like they're fiending for it. And they're like, you know, it's
right.
And it's like, it's almost like they lose self-control because they're not allowed it in like a reasonable
allowed
amount.
Allowed it at all. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like for me, yeah, I work on electronics. So it's really hard for me to say,
no,
you can't have that,
yeah.
But I can. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a you know, it's a delicate thing. I think the lady's a little bit extreme in that. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I played on my Commodore 64 and I turned out all right, I think. All right, never mind.
I like
not
it
a,
anyway.
Not a good example. All right. Somebody else can talk.
I think we're pretty well in agreement on this. And I'd say I'm definitely a more strict parent. Social media, my kids are not allowed to have social media. And a lot of that comes from the fact that there's some horrible things that happen between kids, even between adults, but definitely for kids on social media. So they're not allowed to have that. We've actually had a sheriff's deputy knock on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning because there's been something going on in social media and there is a person that they are needing to find because they're worried about them.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just been a hard and fast rule. Like, you know, no social media for my kids. And the thing is where we're homeschooled and even the other kids that they're around, either at like co-op or robotics and stuff, like most of them don't have social media either. So they don't have the pressure of I'm the odd one out. That definitely helps around here because they're like, you know, it's not that big of a deal to them. And I do set pretty hard limits for the technology. So yes, you can have your game time, but your homework and your chores better be done. And oh no, we didn't get our chores done and it's 5 o'clock. Well, gosh, dang it, you're out of luck, right? Like I expect you to have your stuff that you know you're supposed to do done by that time. You can try again tomorrow. And I have had a kid where they were supposed to be going to bed, but it's 10 o'clock and they're still watching videos. And this child is very, very hard to get out of bed in the morning. So because I am tech savvy enough, I'm just like, okay, internet is shut down to these devices. These devices need to be in my room. But that's because, hey, there's been a trust loss here. You know that it was time for bed and you weren't supposed to be on your device. So now I have them. But like you, I'm on my computer a lot of the time. We have lots of like tech devices. We use them for school as well as not because I do want them to write things out. But there's some great educational programs out there. My youngest son absolutely loves Prodigy. He does math in other ways, but he really enjoys getting on there and playing those math games. So I think we're in agreement that I don't think she's a full-blown jerk, but there needs to be a conversation. Okay, so here are the boundaries for your devices. If you cross this line, mm-hmm. we're going to be back to where we are now. So I'm extending this line of trust to you. But if you're a doom scrolling, because I think that is a super big problem right now, or just being open, like if for any reason I had said to my kid, hey, let me see your phone, and they're like going to tuck it away, then I'd be worried about maybe some of the conversations or the content that was on that device. Right now, I don't have that issue with any of my children, but you know, it'd be like, hey, if you have a phone, I still need access to it because I am the parent and there are things out there that are not good, especially on the internet, for your growth and development, your mental health.
Right.
And so just keeping an eye on those technologies. But I have extended that trust to my kids, and I have told them in the cases where they have lost it because they've used technology in ways that were not agreed upon for the rules. Okay, I'm taking this device and this is how you get that flexibility back, then. Yeah.
I actually have. So I've eliminated the problem, at least internally in my house. When my kids are here, they can't even get to TikTok, for one. They don't have social media. The closest thing to social media they have is YouTube, and it's YouTube Kids, which I still monitor that. My oldest, he actually uses my YouTube. So I see everything that he looks at, which does mess up the algorithm for me.
I know, my kids use mine too, and it's, yeah. I don't want Minecraft videos, thank you.
Yeah, I don't either, but that's okay. I get to see what Minecraft videos are watching, you know, so that actually works out fine. And, you know, sure, I get the, you know, sometimes get YouTube short of like, oh, this Minecraft thing, you know, whatever. With the YouTube face. Whatever they make the open mouth, whatever.
And I have said no to creators, and it's not that the content itself was bad, but it's the voice that they're talking in makes me want to throat punch somebody. I'm like, not everything is that exciting and needs to be that over the top.
Yeah.
Shush.
Yeah, it's not that exciting. Like, no. But yeah.
it's not that cool. It's not that exciting. No.
Right. So I do what I can. I control what I can. But like, yeah, I think there are limits for sure. And I do, I try and craft it in such a way as to not cause resentment from the kids. But I do play the part of parent, even though I'm probably the biggest kid of them all. So it's a discipline thing for me as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's because technology in our current world, I feel, is a necessity. So them knowing how to use it, them knowing how to navigate it is very important, which, I mean, that's why some of our learning resources are online. So to have them completely void of that, or, you know, especially as you have a child that's hitting 16 dating age and being able to like set those dates to go with friends, I guess they can call mom's phone. Like, nobody has a house phone anymore. So yeah, I didn't have a cell phone as a kid, but we had a house phone. My friends could call. Like, I could have those conversations.
Maybe and need to get set one up of those times
to go out or do whatever. So, you know, I don't know.
Scrolling is not the only doom you're thinking about, Nate.
Right.
I'm thinking about like the rotary phone. That's doom right there.
I have used one. My great grandparents had one in their house. Yeah.
I literally remember using one for probably, God, at least until I was at least 12 or 13 at my house.
I regret that I didn't enjoy them more. Now that I know more about them, I think I would have had more appreciation.
You would have enjoyed the technology. See, my biggest beef with them, which is like everybody's complaint, you're like, crap, wrong number.
Too many zeros.
Hang up and start over again.
It was the zero was the problem because it was the longest one.
The longest one to get all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be a problem with my current cell phone number because I think I've got two. No, just one. I don't even remember my own phone number.
That's a pretty bad one.
I know.
I have 10.
I have a side story about that. I'll have to tell you later. That was fun. Okay, so overall ruling on that one was we all agree, hey, mom, lighten up a little bit. We get it. Devices can cause problems. The internet can cause problems. But
yeah, pump the brakes on that one a little bit.
Loosen the leash a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, final one. And I find this one really interesting. I'm going to summarize it because it's really pretty long. But I feel overall, between Nate being in tech, we've got the pseudo show on the network, and it's it's all about, you know, IT and networking and coming across that. So basically the gist of it is this guy works from home. He's been part of the company now for, I think it was 7 or 8 years, definitely like no short time. And he knows that every 6 months they have to change the network password and that there is a million verifications in order to get all of that done. And they have a VPN. So he's working remotely, remoting into this VPN. It was time for the password change. So he was going to do it at night before he wrapped up for work. There was a failed attempt. And so gets up the next morning, still having issues, can't get through it, had tried all kinds of different things, wasn't happening. So it was time to call their IT guy. He was apologetic. Hey, you know, I can't figure out what's going on. And the first thing the IT tech does is start shaming him and talking down to him. Next time you call us, here's a quote. Next time, call us when something isn't working before you make a mountain out of a molehill, is one of the comments that this IT person had said. And it's an order of operations and you did it wrong. So right before telling him, there was also some other actions that he wouldn't done. And so the IT tech is being very condescending through the whole thing. And they get to a point where the IT tech is like, hey, did you do the reset on your phone too? To which the OP said, hey, you know, we've never had to do this before. Why do we have to do this now? You know, before it would automatically sync to their phone devices. And the IT tech support is like typing them out, spelling teams for this person. And they're like, you know, I'm tired of you talking down to me. I'm not an idiot. Like, I realize that there's something going wrong here. I've done this with the company for the last 8 years. I was just calling you because you are the tech support person. And essentially that's all that this person said is like, hey, I don't enjoy being talked down to. And they want to know if they're the jerk.
For saying, hey, don't talk down to me?
Right.
All right. So if I had an employee that talked down to somebody because they had computer problems, I would be livid. Because frankly, I'm a technology enthusiast and I also happen to be an IT manager. So how that happened, it just happened. All right. It just crazy.
It just happened.
It just happened. So I guess if you do what you love or something like that. Anyway, so
yeah, something like that. Something cliche like that, right?
Right. So the whole thing, like if I can understand, like if you have someone that's a chronic, they keep doing things, but even somebody who chronically right. has issues, I still will not condescend them because sometimes people just don't get it. And that's just the way it is. You know, they do something wrong, that's fine. It's easy to reset a password. It's easy to, like, you know, I've had in the last month, I've probably had 5 or 6 people that said, hey, I forgot my, you know, Office 365 password. Can you reset it for me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. No problem. And that's not a big deal to me because it's just not a big deal. I've had people call me because it's a 24-hour operation at midnight and say, I can't get into my email. I really need to get into it for whatever reason. You know, reports, you got to get into your email. And
yeah.
I don't condescend them. Even if they did, if they did a lot, I'd probably like, you know, little ribbings here and there, or I'd say, Hey,
can we get together and have like go through this kind of stuff? And maybe I can help you kind of.
Yeah. Something some I would figure it out. I've not had this an issue,
yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, and people are always apologetic, you know, for calling me or whatever, but like, I don't care. It's my job. And so I would say it's the IT professional's job to help people with their computers. You exist because people don't know how to use their computers. That's like, that's your job. Right. That's job security. In fact, you should be thanking them that they're incompetent with their computers. That's my opinion. I'm glad. I am glad you don't know how to do this, so I have a job I enjoy. So thank you. That's my opinion.
Yes.
So no, mm-hmm. I think that. Now I will say sometimes people who are in IT are maybe a little bit on the spectrum. I know I can be. So there is that, and sometimes they just lack social skills.
Sometimes not reading social cues very well or right. saying things they don't realize right. could potentially be.
And so
issue.
Like sometimes, yeah. But it sounds like this IT professional was just being a jerk. And so
right.
That's different. I don't care.
Yeah, what because it is. This is on the opposite side of where we started, right? The first one we went through, they were not an IT person by choice. They were being forced to by family member. Mm-hmm. Here we have this person that is getting paid to do IT work for this company. And when employees are calling in, then not being nice about it.
So my take on this, Nate, do you know Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie? It is a comedy sketch on IT. Okay.
I might have to look that up.
Wendy, look up Internet Help Desk.
Okay.
Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. It sums up everything that you were just talking about. You are paid to do this. Whereas the first one that we talked about was not paid to do this and was just kind of, here you go. And said, I don't want it.
Right.
So is the OP a jerk for saying, don't be a condescending jerk to me? No, I don't think they are. Sometimes some people need to kind of, like Nate said, be put in their place because they don't always quite get social cues.
Right.
And I mean, Nate doesn't, right. So, you know, it's fine.
I know my limitations,
but
it kind of reminds me of the line or one of the lines from The Martian, the book, not the movie. The book is fantastic, by the way. But it does have language. So if you don't like books that have explicit language, don't read it because it starts out with one.
I keep a notebook on me for social cues. So I know like, oh, they are doing this.
For social cues. But there's a character in the book that basically says, hey, you know, sometimes I don't realize when I'm being difficult. If I'm being difficult, just let me know. Mm-hmm. Right. Just one of those cases that sometimes people need a, hey, you're being a bit of a jerk, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't think that this is the case for this particular IT person. Things like, you know, pull down the screen with your thumbs and you'll find a search bar, type in TEAMS, right? Like being definitely being very condescending to the person that had the problem. And knowing that the OP, the original poster, this person who's worked for this company for 8 years, right? They've gone through this process multiple times, 16 times, right? It's not new to them. And now they're having an issue. Then you'd think that IT would be a little bit more understandable, especially where it sounds like this is a rigmarole in order to get through it. I would be curious as to what the guys from the pseudo show would say to something like this. You know, how difficult is some of that with some of the different check-ins and verifications that you have to do? Do you have clients which theirs has to be set on a regular basis like that? And is it super difficult for the staff in order to fix it? But I would say in this case, totally agreeing with both of you, that it's the IT guy here that's being a jerk. And I can understand, you know, maybe the IT guy has had a bad day. He's had some bad personal thing going on. But I view it in the same way it is when I have to make a call to customer service, right? I'm having an issue. Something isn't working right, whether it's been my internet in the past or some other thing. I'm having to contact customer service. I know it's not the other person at the end of that line that has caused my problem. And most recently, it was the beginning of winter, I had to make a call to our gas company for heating because, you know, what we were being charged was outrageous compared to where it was delivered somewhere else. And the poor gal at the end of the line, she was just reading the script. She was doing it the way that they told him to. And I'm not getting mad at her. The only time I get testy with customer service is if they get testy with me. And I'm like, okay, gloves off. Like, if we want to go there, we can go there. But I'm going to be as nice as I can to you because I know you're not the cause of whatever issue that I'm having. And I kind of feel like people in IT need to be the same way, right? This person is calling you with a problem. You may not be their problem, but it's your job to solve that and doing it in a way that can help you help them. I mean, being nice to somebody when they're struggling with their technology goes a long way to helping it getting solved. Like being snappy is only going to frustrate them more, exacerbate the problem right? So I'm curious, you know, how do other people, because I feel like this is something that a lot of our community could have feedback on, whether you work mm-hmm. in IT or you deal with people that work in IT.
So I can only say the one time and the only time I tend to get snippy with, well, of them in Nate. generally when it comes to customer service stuff, because I've worked the retail end of things, I tend to try to be very even keel with how I approach generally people that are in that field. But when you tell people, when you give the, say it's an IT phone call, like the internet or whatever, you know, internet company, insert tech company here, and you have literally basically already say, don't even read the script. I already did this,
yep.
you know, basically read their entire script for them. That's when I start getting a little testy where it's like, I've already done this.
Yes.
And you explain it very nicely, you know, like not in a condescending manner, but you're just kind of like, and then they're like, well, do these anyway. And you're like,
But I just did them. Yeah. Yeah. I understand you. That's a difficult thing. I did get quite upset when I was talking to my internet company and we'd been on the phone multiple times. And finally she's like, well, how big of a file are you trying to upload? And I'm like, it's 5 gigs. And she's like, oh, that's your problem. Your file size is too big. And so it's dropping you down to 1 megabit per second. And I'm like, wait a minute. What in the world? No. And of course we were with Starlink within a week, but I fixed the problem. Right. Like just changed companies.
So, and it's not even so much getting mad at the, like it comes across as getting mad at the person.
Right. When it was like, the company and its policies that I were actually frustrated with.
Well,
right.
It's not even so much that like in my, like my case, like the last time that happened and I got snippy with, it comes across as snippy to the customer service rep.
Right.
But it's more about the process that they're going through. And it's just like, can you just deviate from the script
just a little bit
and be like, if like I've already checkmarked everything off your IT list.
Yes. Yes.
So like on those occasions, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I try not to get snippy. And it's like, okay, can you not read the teleprompter? Don't be a, never mind. I'm not going to say that. just don't read the teleprompter. And because I'm going to tell you everything I already did.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And it's probably 99.9% because we're into technology, already been checked because this basic troubleshooting, if you're interested in technology, 101.
Right. Yes. Yes. You have those down packed before you even call IT. You've ran through that checklist. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, did you know, unplug your router for 30 seconds and plug it back in? And did you reset the modem? And did you?
Right.
Yes, I did all of this. And I looked at my MAC address filtering and I looked at, you know, just all this random stuff that you're going to get asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, I already did it all.
I've been there. I've done that. Right. Yeah.
So we can't say we're not guilty of it, especially when it comes to IT and you get the non-IT people trying to provide IT help. That's a whole different
ball. That's where it's frustrating. Yeah, that is definitely where it is frustrating because those people can't deviate from the script. Like they can't. And in those situations, it's nice if you can be like, you know, I've tried all these things. Can you please send me up to the next person on the tower for problem solving? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But something that's way more fun is games. We haven't had a game of the week in I don't know how long.
Over a month.
I hate it already. I don't like the game. Okay, let's move on. I'm just kidding.
You won't like the, you won't like the game.
I probably like won't just reading the name of it.
It is rated M, so I'll just leave it at that.
Rated I. For immature.
Oh, Nate. Yeah. No, that's just you in general.
Mm, perfect.
Why so mean?
Because it's you.
I will be very upfront. If we're talking about like jokes and stuff off air, definitely not on air, but I'm probably one of the worst Yeah, definitely one of the worst.
I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
I'm sure Michael and Ryan could confirm nor deny too. Yeah. Yeah.
So the game is actually called God of War. It is a Sony produced game from 2018 that originally came out on the PS4. The reason I'm recommending it, for two reasons. It is on GOG, mm-hmm. so you can actually own it on PC. Like, download it and own it.
It's yours, right?
I have it cold storage now on my hard drive that I have. So there is that. Mm-hmm. And it is half off right now until the 29th. Normally the game goes for $50, I think. I think it's $24.99 right now, mm-hmm. as opposed to generically the $50 that it would normally go for. If it was on Steam, I probably wouldn't recommend it, but because it's on GOG and you actually owning a game on PC is very rare.
Right.
And it is a triple A, quote unquote, style of game as far as being available on like what used to be a Sony exclusive and a big publisher, putting it out on GOG does not happen a whole lot. Sony's been doing it with a lot more of their games. They have like Dave Gone. They have
weird.
They have Uncharted,
which is a game that I want. Yes.
Yeah. So Uncharted Thief's Legacy, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember that or collection, whatever.
Yeah, that's
there's the one game where it has there's Lost Legacy. There's a game that has like two of them put together. It's Uncharted 4, and I think it's Lost Legacy. Also available on GOG. Horizon. Zero Dawn is also available. So Sony has been putting it out on a DRM free. So I do like promoting that.
Yeah.
So Sony is opposite of Nintendo.
Yes. Where Nintendo is like, oh, emulation bad. We're going to shut down emulators.
Emulation bad. Really, now, really old games. You're still paying $50 for. Yeah.
You're paying for it every system you buy.
So.
Right. Yes. Yes. And they're going to shut down the servers one day.
Right. Woo. You pay for it, then you can't get it after you paid for it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Nintendo. So, that is why I'm promoting this game. I'm not a big God of War fan. I like the old PS3 God of War games. They are uber violent. They are not family friendly at all in any way, shape, or form. But if you are into action games, and if you just like those style of games, like the Devil May Cry style of combat in a third person action game, these are those kind of games.
And it does have ultra wide support. So if you have an ultra wide monitor, nice.
So definitely not family friendly again, but it is worth promoting for things that you can actually physically own.
Yeah, so it says mature 17+,
in a digital sense.
Intense violence, blood, gore, and strong language.
And also, it does say the 50% off sale ends on the 29th of March, so of this year, 2024. Yeah.
29th of March, so this will be out before it's off sale. Mm-hmm. I promise.
And I do like how they have, so if you just do the main story, time to beat's 20.5 hours. If you, the main plus the sides, 23 and a half hours. All styles, 23 and a half. I don't know, I'm sure what that means, but then completionist.
That's probably the average. It's probably the average.
Yes, okay. That's generally the average.
And then completionist.
So
based on your, is it worth the money, even if you got the full price?
Just the main.
It's $1 an hour-ish.
If you're one who likes to complete the game, everything, yeah.
Yeah. But I think at the price for what it is definitely fair. You were getting a AAA experience. If you want those kind of a single player experiences from a big publisher and game maker on GOG, that is not Steam. And I love Valve. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But
the graphics look nice. They look good.
They are. So this game is actually playable, and I believe this is Steam Deck verified, by the way, Nate.
Throw that out there. It's not the kind of game that I would think you'd be into, Matt.
Yeah.
It's not a Matt game, but he's supporting right. what they're doing as far right. as releasing
it
them.
It doesn't quite free. Have the yeah. art style he likes.
Okay. Nate. I have actually been recommending a lot of games that are not based on that art style thing. I will so tell you that I actually have a physical copy of this for the PS4.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Still totally unopened. I haven't even cracked this.
Are you saving it as a collector's edition or something like that?
No, it just shows that these style of games are just not my
just not your
flavor.
Thing.
Like,
yeah,
right. Like that. I said style, mate, not art style.
Style.
But so it's just, I believe in promoting what we talk about a lot,
right,
which is freedom and ownership and that kind of stuff. And in a digital age, it's really hard to actually have that stuff.
Right.
So I've been promoting GOG a lot more over Steam, mostly because of that. Not because I have any, and again, I love Valve and I love everything they've done for the Linux desktop and Proton and all that stuff. But, and you're still relying on them to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And while I will take their word that if they ever go out of business or whatever, that they will make all that stuff available to you, I'm still having a backup plan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Still want different versions of it to have on hand and available. Yeah. I get that.
Look,
for sure.
I love Valve. I think they do good work, but I think it's good to have GOG out there as the, just as a different distribution model that I think is just good mm-hmm. to keep. It keeps Valve honest.
Definitely.
You know, they don't rest on their laurels and start to pull a Nintendo on you.
And especially where you can use things, what is it, like Mini Galaxy? Is that the one you've talked about where you can pull in your GOG games?
So Mini Galaxy is generally for Linux native games, mostly.
Gotcha.
I haven't really looked at Mini Galaxy since Heroic, which is the one
Heroic is the one
mm-hmm. has pulled in being able to use Proton.
Nice.
On your GOG collection.
Nice.
So that before it was just Epic that they originally started that with. Then they pulled in GOG, and that's when I started looking more at Heroic as my
what they've got going on.
GOG stuff.
Which for me that would make a difference, because if I'm going to get the game, I want it to work on my Linux system. So yeah.
There you go, Nate. A different game recommendation besides my quote unquote usual stuff.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. I mean, cool.
I'll have you. Actually, Nate, that's two games in a row that I have recommended that don't fit that
nice,
art.
It's nice.
What was your last game suggestion?
Star Wars Jedi Fallen
Order.
That's right.
Yes.
And the one before that was an open source RTS.
Okay.
So
it's been a while since he's had some of those other games, but I was looking at some of the popular achievements that you can get on that game, which I find interesting. This is like a bit of a side tangent. My daughter and I were playing Phasmo, what was it, last week? And we were in this house, and I died in under a minute because we had a very aggressive demon. And I am like 0.03% of game players that have died to a demon in under a minute. So congratulations to me on this very rare achievement that I didn't want.
Well, you earned it.
I earned it. I very much earned it. And I was just out of range so that the crucifix will stop a hunt. I was like literally just out of range of the crucifix working. And I'm like, oh, this room is a little cold. This might be the ghost room. I'd stepped from the kitchen into the dining room, was just out of range for that crucifix to work to stop the hunt. And I died. Yay. Yay me. Yay.
It's good time. Good stuff.
good stuff. And that good stuff is you not having to use Gmail in the browser, but getting to use it in Kmail. You're still using Kmail. You still love all of its features.
So here's what happened. Back in September-ish, I think, something broke in Kmail where I couldn't use, or something broke in Google where I couldn't use Kmail, you know, with contact, K-Organizer, all that, the whole suite of things, tools, the Plasma personal information management suite, I couldn't use the Google-y stuff. And now people should say, oh, you should just leave Google. And you're right, I should. But I have too many people in my circles that are so dependent on Google, and I'm not really willing at this point just to push them off and then something I can't sustain and everything else. And so it's just like, you know, I have, you know, my cubiclenate.com email is not Google. It's something else. Anyway, the point of that being, I was using Thunderbird, and Thunderbird's fine. I was able to configure Thunderbird enough where I could be happy with it. I still was like kind of irritated with certain little bits of it, but I worked with it, made it, you know, functional enough for me. In fact, it actually has one feature that I can't do in KOrganizer right now, but it's not a great feature, but it is a feature. Anyway, so Thunderbird has been working. It's a good fallback. It just doesn't have quite the layout and the features that I want. And now that whatever's been fixed, and also there's basically a way of getting Gmail to work. It's not around straightforward. It. Yeah. So you have to basically create an app password. And then that will.
Oh, okay.
And so then you do that, and then you change the authentication because you can't use the Google authentication. You have to use a plain text authentication. It uses the app password. And so I wrote a step by step. This is how you get it to work, because I periodically would search for a solution, haven't found a solution, and then I happened to search today because Thunderbird did something that irritated me, and so I searched and I'm like, oh, does it work? And it works. And so I was like,
finally,
you know, like Mickey Mouse. Well, what do you know? And then now I said, well, I'm going to write down those notes really quick. And I thought, well, I'm just going to create an article on kubelnate.com. And I published it because I'm sure somebody is going to want to know how to do that at some point in time besides me. I'm probably one of about a dozen people that use KMail. I realize that. And I happily use it. It just happens to have the features that I want and the way I like it. And so I'm back to using KMail again, and I'm very happy. It's just the way it lays out my emails and everything else. It just makes it so much easier to get through my emails than Thunderbird. There's not a quick undo in Thunderbird that I can't. Mm-hmm. If I put something in the wrong folder, I have to then hunt for it. Just a lot of little things. Just Thunderbird
makes
just doesn't
that part
have,
difficult. Yeah,
just doesn't have quite the itty bitty features that I like. And now I'm happy again. I'll probably keep using Thunderbird on this machine here, but not on my main machine. But it doesn't really matter because I don't use it very much here. I just use it to like clear out emails in the morning. So I'm happy.
And I'm one of those people that aspire to use an app and not use it in the browser. I mean, I do on my phone, right? But for mail fence, I use, I think it's like Fair Mail, something like that on my phone. I have to look at it. Fair Email on my phone for my mail fence account. But on my computer and all of that stuff, I just still tend to use it in the browser. And I'm also a horrible curator of my emails. Junk piles up. Yes, it does. I should clear that out more often. So I have to applaud you. Maybe if I did install it in an application, whether it's Thunderbird, KMail, any of the other ones that are out there, maybe I would do a better job going through my email and getting rid of the cruft and all of that. I'm so bad at that.
It's all right.
So bad at that.
Yeah, I had some 2,000 emails over the weekend. Not just over the weekend, but like I had accumulated about 2,000, 2,500 emails. So I got through them all. I didn't read all of them. I deleted a lot of them. But anyway, I got through them all.
Yeah.
My inbox is clear. It's just so much easier to keep things going. Now, I think Thunderbird's a fine product. I think I would probably recommend that over KMail. But for me, I think I recognize that I want something specific. And also, I've been using KMail for over 20 years now, and I just don't want to change. So I just don't.
Right. It's a nice workflow that you've got down. And so that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Now you are heading off into the wild blue yonder again, I see. Or is it Ohio? No, Utah.
No Ohio. Yep, Utah.
Wyoming.
Last time we talked.
Why? I don't know.
We will compete in Wyoming next year. But for this year, it's just Utah. So last time we talked, I said, hey, you know, I will go ahead and register us for Utah State. If the kids are looking like they're putting in the work, and they have been, they've been working really hard on their robot. We've had some issues with motors and the PID for the arm. And I swear, like today, I was at robotics all morning and I was like, okay, so you guys are going to work on your speeches today and we're going to get some drive practice done because Bailey can wrap up the PID for the arm, no time flat. And it's one of those things that I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut because karma came back or, you know, whatever came back and bit me in the butt. And so, yeah, they did spend some time working on their speeches, but they got no drive practice because there was some just some issues with the PID and all kinds of like troubleshooting, problem solving. Finally got it worked out. When we left today, the PID seemed to be working, though we still haven't tried the hang yet. That's one of the first things that I want them to do Thursday when we get into robotics. We might head in tomorrow. Originally, I was planning on spending tomorrow editing Twill, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. So we might head in to the robot room and just test some things. I think my kids would sleep better and I would sleep better knowing that that's working because we're coming down to the wire. So like I said, we're recording this on Tuesday, March 12th. And Utah State is Saturday, March 16th. So by this time the show comes out, Utah State will already be over. And I will have videos of what that looks like. And I will drop them in here like I've done the last two episodes. You can watch at least part of a robot run and see how they did. I might even drop little notes as to how things went so you don't have to wait the full, like, span of another episode. But yeah, we're down to the wire. We're getting ready to head. And I actually think other than like fighting with the PID, overall, I think they're better prepared for Utah State than they were for Idaho State, which happened, what, it was back in February? I have to say about a month ago. Yeah. Yeah, because there was 3 weeks. There's 3 weeks in between the Utah qualifiers and Utah State. So I think they're better prepared. They have a fun design for their pit table figured out. I'll get a picture of that and share that with you. So we'll see how it goes. Like I mentioned before, they cannot get a ticket to Worlds from Utah State because of how it works. You can only get it in your district. So our district is Idaho, but it's more experience for them. It is just that problem-solving thing. Hey, our robot was working great at Idaho State. We had these problems at the Utah qualifier. We've been working through those. And hopefully they will have, once again, a successful running robot at Utah State. And just rolling through those motions and figuring out how to fix some of those things, whether it's hardware-related or coding-related. We did a whole lot of, or they did a whole lot of, I got to watch them do it, wire changes and other sensor changes and just reading through the code line by line, like, is it me? Do I have something in here that's not working? So I'm excited. I'm excited to think how things go. And you can see in the show right now how that's all working out. Now it's your turn to toss in your two cents on today's topics. Hit the discourse form. Drop us a line under this video or the contact form by visiting tuxdigital.com/contact. Yes. We definitely want your vote on who's the jerk. And I'm kind of interested. Dude, you guys like this kind of flow? Is it something that we should do again? Or nah, it wasn't your favorite and we should stick to our regular conversations. If you'd like to hang out with us on our preferred social media, see the links in the bottom of the show description. Find other great shows like Fit and Fueled, Destination Linux, Linux Saloon, and so much more at tuxdigital.com. Show off your love for your favorite podcasts and shows by visiting tuxdigital.com/merch store. Grab yourself some awesome swag like the gamer-centric I Paused My Game to Be Her shirt. Matt finally paused his game. He is here once again. Will he be here next week? I don't know. Tune in and find out. Or you could join hashtag Team Wendy with some Sinister Wendy swag. I'm really pretty nice. You just got to get to know me. And
evil.
Be all evil. Right if I flip crap at you, right? I mean, right. As always,
duct tape.
As always, we thank you for joining us. We'll be back next time with another awesome episode of Linux Out Loud. Until then, keep the banter friendly, the conversation somewhat on topic, and have fun doing it.